Shri Gurun Shri Yudhapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstam Shri Rupam Sahajahatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paransagana Lalita Shri Vishakaham Vitamstha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tvapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Panchakai Patarupyas Chakri Pasunnu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanipyu Vaishnavi Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Tat Sat. So, we're reading this evening from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 18. The chapter is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Udara sarva evaite Yanitvat maiva mimatam Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Mami vanutamam gatim Udhara sarva evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Mame vanutamam gatim Udara sava evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astitasa hi yuktatma Mame vanutamam gatim Udara sava evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Mami vanutam Udara sava evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astitasai yuktatma Mami vanutamangatim Udara sava evaiti Jnanitva maiva mimatam Astitasa hi yuktatma Mami vanuttamangatim Udara sarva evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Vame vanuttamangati Udara sarva evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Mami vanutamangati. Do you also like to try? Udhara sava evaiti Jnanitvat maiva mimatam Astithasa hi yuktatma Wonderful, I'm impressed. So beautiful. Actually, the melody with which we are chanting is supporting the chanting, isn't it? It's like really more easy to remember, to memorize. And also it's somehow supporting the this really nice Sanskrit, is very poetic language. Okay, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, we didn't do the word for word, eh? Okay, word for word. Udara. Magnanimous. Sarve. All. Eva. Certainly. Ete. These. Jnani. One who is in knowledge. Two. But. Atma Eva. Just like myself. Me. My. Matam. Opinion. Asthita. Situated. Sa. He. He. Certainly. Yukta Atma. Engaged in devotional service. Mam. In me. Eva. Certainly. Anuttamam. The highest. Gatim. Destination. Now, translation in Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me the highest and most perfect goal. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, a great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection they ask the Lord for some material benefit, and when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord, because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord says, Sadhavurirayang mahyam sadhunang hirayang tvam maranyate na jananti nahang tibhyo manakapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. Again the verse. Udara sava evaiti gyanitvadma eva mimatam asitasahi yuktatma vamivanutamam gatim. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So, this verse is connected to verse 16, which describes the four types of pious beings that accept or take to the path of devotional service. Therefore, I will read this text too, to recap a little bit. O best among the Bhagavatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita with the title Knowledge of the Absolute is actually a very beautiful title, a chapter in which Krishna explains how one can actually become absorbed in thoughts of him. And he starts this chapter to just recapitulate a little bit and sum up the previous verses, how we got to this verse how today. First of all, Krishna glorified knowledge about him. He described his position, his energies. Also, Krishna gave different examples about how he actually is the essence of everything. Intelligence of the intelligent, the power of the powerful people, the life, and so many things. And he also described what prevents one from actually seeing this, right? And he said that actually this is the three gunas, and only by surrendering to Krishna one can overcome the three gunas. This is verse 14. Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratya mameva ye papatyante mayametam tarantite. So where Krishna explains this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So this is actually very relevant, because this is the topmost goal of knowledge, of real knowledge, is to come to the point to surrender to Krishna. Later in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 66, Krishna gives this famous verse, Savaramam Parityajya, where he says that give up all varieties of dharmas, of religion, and just surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sins. Do not fear. This is also very interesting, because you know, we only have this body which we got, right? Our karma and everything. And now we need to engage it somehow in the service of the Lord to purify it. Otherwise, it will still entangle us. But otherwise, as we heard in this text 14, we cannot come out of the influence of the modes, right? Rajagun, Safagun, Tamagun, they will always control our life. And there's one picture in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if this is in this edition, but there's a puppet player, or three ladies actually that play the puppets. And so this is to be understood, it's a very nice analogy for how much actually we are not free when we are here in the material world. We are so much predominated by the influence of the modes, because everything in the material world consists of the different mixture of the modes. So we feel naturally attracted. For example, if we are a lot in passion, we like, for example, spicy food, a little bit hot or something, or we like passionate music, or being very active. So Krishna also explained this in later chapters of Bhagavad Gita, how these gunas, these modes of material nature, these ropes, is another meaning of gunas, actually bind us. But to come back to the point today is, anyway, that only by cultivating this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge of the Absolute, one can finally come to the point to accept devotional service. So, now, in today's verse, Krishna explains that although there are these four types of pious beings that approach him, the one who is searching after knowledge is the most dear to him. Actually, in the verse it is said that I consider to be just like my own self, Krishna says. Not only that he is the best of all these different kind of yogis, but that Krishna considers him to be as his own self. So what does that mean? It's kind of interesting phrase, right? But usually, what is the most dear to one living entity is himself, right? What I love most, like let's say some fire is breaking out in the castle, so who am I going to save first? Me. Why? Because the soul is most dear to me. And after the soul, the most dear thing which is dear to me is the body, because it's like the car, the mobile, that is, helping us to come to the point of realizing that we are not the body, ultimately, but in which we can make the experiences. But it's also very interesting that immediately in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is not that all these other three types of devotees, the one who is suffering, the one who wants wealth, and inquisitive person, is not that they are not dear to Krishna. But there is a clear distinction that Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas are making, also Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that there is a different reasons why one approaches the Supreme Lord, right? Some have some own selfish desires, and this jnani, as we hear today, who is the most dear to the Lord, he has this single-minded interest, right? His only interest is to be engaged in devotional service, to please Krishna. Right? Because he is inquisitive. He wants to know, okay, what is the absolute truth? And he doesn't have another motive. For example, the person who wants wealth, let's say somebody is poor, has been a little bit, better situated before, and then now he's suffering due to being poor. No, actually, this is another person. But let's say somebody who wants to gain more wealth or fame or something, and then he starts out of that reason to worship the Lord. That's wonderful. The same if somebody is suffering. Let's say, Srila Prabhupada always gives this example. In the Second World War, the women of Germany, they were going to the church and praying, for the welfare of their sons and husbands and brothers and fathers and everything, to return healthy from the war. So this is very natural propensity. But it's not only that, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, the devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit. And when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But, Hare Krishna, welcome. There's also another side. If one does not get the desired good, let's say wealth, or the women from the Second World War in Germany, their sons, husbands, and everyone died, so then they become disappointed, frustrated. And at that time, for them, it's very easy to give up again the process. Deny, okay, there's no God, If there were a God, how he could be so cruel? I was already going to the church, right, and praying to him and everything. So this is the other side of the coin. It's not only positive that, yes, out of affection, and such persons, they approach God. But still, there's the risky side too, that they may not get the desired outcome. Particularly if you approach Krishna, and Krishna does not avoid you the desired result because we're too much attached to it, and Krishna first of all wants to purify the desire before giving us the result, then this is a kind of test in devotional service that one has to somehow or other endure. And sometimes the devotees just go away. They just leave Krishna consciousness. Can you please give him a table or something? Thank you. So the point is that, when we don't have that strong faith yet in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service as the path, the most easy and sublime path to him, then this faith might be shaken. And this is natural because we know that there's different levels of devotees. Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And one thing that is very much distinctive for these three levels of devotees is their degree of faith in Krishna and in the process, but also their degree of knowledge. For example, the Kanishtha Adhikari, in general, he does not have very much knowledge of Shastra. So his face is a little bit shaky. If somebody comes to argue with him, sometimes we experience this. If you send them on distribution of books in the cities, and then they have some arguments with another person, maybe a scientist or, you know, from another religious background or something, then they become bewildered and they ask, oh, you know, what happened? And, you know, it's dangerous for that purpose. Then the Madhyama Adhikari, he has a more firm faith already, established faith because of his practice of devotional service, and also because he knows the Shastra. He may not be perfectly equipped with knowledge of the Shastra, but he knows the Siddhanta, he knows how to argue, and he may not know how to conquer every argument, but still, his faith is strong, firm. And then the Uttama Adhikari, he is completely fixed in knowledge and in devotion. And he can argue like Srila Prabhupada. He could defeat anybody without problem, right? So this is a significant point that is also made in this verse today, that one needs to have knowledge and to be engaged in devotional service. It's both, side by side. Because this knowledge is not just some kind of intellectual thing, but it is actually necessary in order to realize that knowledge, to get the revelation from within, that we gain this knowledge by service in association of other devotees. Now in Srimad Bhagavatam there's a verse 2, 3, 10 that also addresses the different the different motives to approach devotional service or to approach Krishna. Akama sava kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Translation. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So also within this verse, we see that there's different categories again of devotees, similar to the ones that we heard here, these four pious beings that come to Krishna. This Jnani, he is in a Nishkama platform. That means he's free of the desire for the fruits of his activities, whereas these other three, they are categorized in the Sakkama platform. They still have some desire attached to their service or something. They still want something out of it. Okay, what is in it for me? You know, Krishna, okay, I do this if you give me this. It's like a business deal almost. But it's not bad. And actually, when we read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we see the perfect example of such a Sakkama devotee, so to say. Arjuna, he also had some personal desire for sense gratification. He did not want to, you know, slaughter all his family and friends. You know, he thought that, oh, what is the value of gaining a kingdom or, you know, the earth or even all the universe, you know, to rule over, if there's no person with whom I can share this, right? Because usually our most, most strong urge is that we're looking for love, right? For exchanging of and mutual understanding and this. So just imagine you were Arjuna and you have to slaughter everybody. All your teacher and fathers and fathers-in-law, uncles, friends, well-wishers, cousins, sons, and everybody was there assembled on that battlefield. And not only that, right? He also saw that, and he gave good reasons. Now, if we destroy all these kings, and there were so many millions of people assembled there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and slaughter within just a couple of days, 2.5 weeks or something, that then the whole religious process becomes put in danger, in a dangerous circumstance, because then all the male members of the family are dead, basically. The women are left unprotected with their children and everything. And then it's much more easy for some rascals who have not been fighting there to exploit the women. You know, then unwanted population is created and so many things. So actually Arjuna has very good reasons for his not to fight. But his main reason was his attachment for his friends and family. But then, gradually, after he understood that, yes, I cannot solve this problem myself, he surrendered unto Krishna. And then gradually, Krishna gives Arjuna that knowledge in order to bring him to a higher understanding. And he presents the knowledge from different points of angles, addressing different issues and everything. So the knowledge is very significant. Okay, what else? Oh, yeah. The last sentence in the purport I found particularly interesting. Srila Prabhupada says that pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. This is actually similar to what I already said before, that the person who is fully devoted to Krishna, he is the jnani in this verse, and so he is completely absorbed in the Lord. It's not that sometimes yes, Krishna, sometimes no, let me be separate, enjoy separate, but he's always, you know, oh, Krishna here, Krishna there, and trying to understand Krishna. So basically his degree of absorption is complete, you know. And whereas the others, this steadiness is not yet there because they have these material desires. And the nature of material desires, even from our own lives, if sometimes, you know, we get some desire fulfilled, let's say, okay, we meet somebody with whom we, you know, fall in love or something, you know, or we get some nice dish or something, you know, whatever is there, and then we enjoy this. But then we forget Krishna, because we think, yeah, we are now the enjoyer, right? We are the center of, you know, we are the most important part here, and, you know. And then we completely lose the focus. So this steadiness of this single-minded attention is not there for the Sakama devotees. So therefore, Krishna in this verse said, actually this jnani, the wise person who is searching after knowledge, he is so dear to him that Krishna considers him to be like his own self. But what is even better is the pure devotee. Because the pure devotee is even more dear to Krishna than Krishna himself. Right? We know that Krishna, he can be captivated by our love. When we love him purely, then he longs for this, you know. Like, let's say, Mother Yashoda, you know, even though she was running behind Krishna to chastise him when he broke the pot of butter and, you know, yogurt and distributed it to the monkeys, as in his Damodar Lila, but still, then Krishna accepted, oh yeah, she's endeavoring out of love. She wants to help me, you know. She doesn't want that I become a useless person, spoiled, and can do whatever I like, but she wants to make me, give me a nice cultivation, a nice, nice culture, nice upbringing, basically. So out of affection she's doing this. So then he accepted, okay, and became bound by Mother Yashoda to this grinding mortar. Yeah, there are several other points, but I think due to the time we can stop here if there are some questions or comments. Well, when I read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, this is such a nectar book. I don't know if you read it from Satsvarup Maharaj, this big one. I'm still reading it, the first part, and still here also we're doing this usually. So then, when you read how Srila Prabhupada was really depending upon Lord Krishna's mercy, you know, even while he was still in India, you know, he had this after he left his family, which was also a nice pastime. But so then he just basically, he didn't have any other shelter. And then he went to his godbrothers, to several mats, and then finally he tried to establish something himself, and he grounded this league of the devotees, but then still it was not completely his own, and some other influences were there, and Srila Prabhupada anyway rejected it, completely aloof from everything, and went on. And the same thing, when he then came to Boston, you know, and then he, for almost one complete year, he was struggling without anything. And before his visa expired, actually, a couple of weeks before, he was already still thinking, okay, I'm not successful, maybe I should return, you know, because his visa was expired. But then, no, somehow or other, he had this firm faith in Krishna, and he just prolonged, until finally something came out, you know. It's really amazing in everything that Srila Prabhupada did. It's so wonderful to read Srila Prabhupada and actually to understand Krishna, because the person Bhagavata and the book Bhagavata, they are non-different. And by reading about these pastimes of the Lord's devotees, also let's say in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have many stories about the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, we can gain more sweet information, more nectar, and gain more faith. It's not like only dry philosophy, but it's some story, right? We like to be entertained a little bit. And it's just so nice, because in this way one can simultaneously have the association of the pure devotee and see how it is actually, he actually applies the philosophy in his life. Is this okay? Or? It's just a small insight. There are so many, several things, but something else? You can also say something, some, I don't know, some point that struck your attention maybe. Yeah, but there also it depends on the consciousness. Like we read these different verses today, this is Sakama, Akama, Savakamo, Mokshakama, Udharati from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is very much about the motivation, about the intention, the purpose, why we are doing something. When we are doing something to gain something out of it, then it's still Sakama platform, which is also good because we are still somehow connecting with the Lord. It's yoga. It's not good when we are trying to enjoy without Krishna, because then it's creating karma, it's entangling us. So this is a little bit difficult. But better than the Sakama karma yoga is Nishkam karma yoga. This is the platform of the Jnani in this book, or in this verse, I mean, because he doesn't have selfish desires. He's just, you know, doing something for the Lord. And actually what will help us in our daily activities, let's say we're doing something and we don't know, okay, do I actually do it for me? Maybe it's mixed still, it's not so pure. But in order to become purified, we can, before we do our services, we can pray to Srila Prabhupada to please be allowed to render this service to him, to assist him in this service, to serve Krishna. Because it's not that we are directly serving Krishna ourselves. We're serving through our spiritual masters. And then by praying to the devotees of the Lord, to the Lord, to Srimati Radharani, we can also pray, then please give us your mercy that we can do something for the Lord, for you. Then everything becomes more favorable. Also when we chant, for example, the holy names, it's also good to just recap one's thoughts and redirect them. You know, we have different prayers. Sri Shikshastakam or some another shlokas, you know, verses that one remembers that help one to direct the attention of the heart more purely towards God. Because usually it's mixed, right? It's not so clear, okay, it's like purely for Krishna, completely without self-interest. Usually it's mixed. But anyway, it's good to acknowledge and to recognize what is there that is mixed and to be conscious of actually what do I want, because this is very important in the process of devotional service. Some tests may come. And in this test, it's good to know to be aware what is the object of the test. So if we already before, we still have some, let's say, okay, some material desire, I want a relationship, for example. For me, this was many years like that, you know. I practiced, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I said, okay, 2 years, you know, brahmacharya, kijai, no problem. No? I was really fired up. But then after 2 years, already to the end of the 2 years, I was like, you know, actually, I would like to have some relationship. And, you know, then I was looking in the internet, okay, some connection on the Krishna conscious marriage pages and everything. Didn't work out. And I had so many, like, different experiences with, I tried different things, right? And just got frustrated, you know. Mainly. And then, of course, it's very hard, you know, at one point you become only frustrated because of too much attachment, then it's like really a test of faith, you know, oh Krishna, you know, I'm doing all this for you, can you please also help me? And then if he's not, you know, responding the way we would like him to respond, you know, then we might turn away from him. So this is very difficult then. You understand the relevance? Yeah, this is really good to be conscious about, okay, what do I want? What is in it for me? And actually, this is the real self-interest, because our self is a part and parcel of Krishna. So if we render pure devotion and service to Krishna, and we somehow or other climb that ladder gradually and giving up, you know, lower attachments to the selfish desires and everything, like a child, you know. Sometimes the child, before going to bed, he wants something sweet. Or let's say before taking lunch. You know, this, like ice cream or something, I want it now. If I don't get it, wah! You know, the world is going to drown and, you know, completely unhappy. But the mother, because she has a broader picture, she understands that, no, in half an hour there will be lunch. You know, the child will be much more nourished from the lunch. And if I give the sweet now, the child will be spoiled. You know, will not be growing healthy and will be like bad behaved or something, you know. So there has to be some regulation. And this is again in this verse 2, 3, 7, 10 that I mentioned, akama sava kamo va, 2, 3, 10, Srimad Bhagavatam, the intelligent person who has the broader view. And this broader view we can gain by studying Bhagavad Gita and discussing it here in the classes, in the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, the science of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so that's, I think, a natural end. And it's not too much late, only 4 minutes left. You want to seriously ask something? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantrat Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Transcendental knowledge Ki Jai.